Jonah chapter 1 this morning, and then tonight chapter 2, which will be wonderful because it fits so beautifully with communion. And then over the next 2 weeks you'll be looking at the rest of the book. So if you care to turn to page 927 in the Pew Bibles, you'll see we'll be reading chapter 1. And what happened here was maybe about 700 years before the Lord Jesus. So it's entitled, Jonah Flees from the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down, and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What do you do? Where do you come from? Where is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, "O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. And we pray that God will give us understanding of this reading from his word. This year's Fit for Purpose theme, determined by the General Assembly, is that we are a community of global concern, learning from and sharing with our brothers and sisters in the World Church, while recognizing with them those issues of concern for our stewardship of the world's resources, where together we must challenge injustice, poverty, and oppression in Jesus' name. I find it difficult to think abstractly, and so for that reason, knowing the theme for this year, I turn to the book of Jonah as a motif for the year's theme. Instead of having a global concern, Jonah the believer had a distinct lack of care for this world which the God of heaven, who created the sea and dry land, had made. In contrast to the Lord, who is gracious and compassionate, Jonah demonstrated both lack of grace and care towards the peoples of the earth. And that could not remain unchallenged by the Lord. God is a God who loves this world. And this sets the situation for the work in which we have specific responsibility. This staggeringly large, encompassing context called world. To quote Eugene Peterson, the whole thing, continents and oceans, city tenements and country barnyards, souls and societies, babies in the womb, and men and women vigorously pursuing every imaginable venture for making money, helping the needy, grasping for power, exploiting the weak, discovering truth, growing food, making art, singing and playing. World is teeming with good and evil. It is this world into which Christ has come and died, and into which we are called to be ministers of reconciliation. And so the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Chapter 3 tells us that Nineveh was a violent and evil place. God cares about this world and all its complexity, mess, and need. The trouble was, Jonah, the one set apart to be God's representative, did not. God said, go, and Jonah said, no. God called Jonah to preach in Nineveh, so Jonah instead chose to go to the beach in Joppa. And there he ran away from the Lord by getting on board a boat and sailing to Tarshish, the furthest possible place known to humankind in the then known world. God cares about the world in its complexity and mess and need, whereas Jonah the believer couldn't care less. Now, I've got to confess to you, and much to my shame, that was also my testimony. Bobby has made reference to the first time we met some 35 years ago. And at that stage in my life, I was at a crossroads. I had heard someone speak at the Christian Union in Queen's University. He was speaking about serving the Lord, trusting him for the future, looking to him for life and for guidance. He was a missionary of the Presbyterian Church who was serving in India at the time, and his life was just an attractive thing. And I remember praying to the Lord, Lord, I'm willing to do as you wish. I'm willing to go to India like James Barton. I'm willing to go to Africa. I'm willing to do anything, go anywhere, except the Republic of Ireland. You'd never be like that, would you? And I remember so clearly the answer coming to me, Frank, if you are not willing to go to the south of Ireland, I can't use you in India. I can't use you in Africa. And so that was the beginning of the process within my own heart, where God had to do a work of grace within my own heart, within my own life. It's what we call sanctification, the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not that God wants us to do the thing we least want to do, but he wants to change us so that we are then happy to do what he wants us to do. And so for 3 years I worked in the Republic with students, and that developed within me a desire to return there for 17 years of ministry with Claire, and where our three children were born, when we were working in Adelaide Road in Dublin. It's a wonderful thing, God's grace. But that's what happened here. Jonah, he did not want to do what God wanted him to do. Jonah cared for this world in its complexity, and Jonah couldn't care less. Well, this morning we're going to discover four things from the book of Jonah, from this chapter, which sadly have carried over into our church and which, as people under the authority of God's Spirit, need to repent of and be converted from. And so the first thing that we can see very clearly is that bigotry matters. Now, we can understand where Jonah had come from. He was an Israelite. 2 Kings chapter 14 tells us he was a prophet in the northern kingdom during the reign of King Jeroboam. And the great kingdom of Assyria, which threatened Israel at that time, was a feared and a hated enemy. They had done his wee country untold harm. And as a Hebrew, Jonah loved his nation more than he loved the Lord who had made the nations. And Jonah feared the Ninevites more than he feared the Lord. In this part of the world, we have every reason to feel hurt because many of us have been. In this wee part of the world, there are many good reasons why we may legitimately hold grudges against people who have wished us harm. But the gospel tells us that perfect love casts out fear, and that Jesus is the one who wants his Holy Spirit to dwell within us, to liberate us so that we may live expansively and love lavishly rather than retreat narrowly into the constricted sectarian borders of our own restricted minds. I've just returned from Hungary, where there we were joining with the Hungarian Reformed Church celebrating 500 years of Reformation, and there were many, many wonderful things that I learned from our sisters and brothers there, but there are a number of things that really disturbed me. Outreach in the Hungarian Reformed psyche is almost exclusively seen as outreach to fellow Hungarian speakers. Don't ask us to speak to people who speak Romanian. And every service within the Hungarian Reformed Church concludes with the singing of the national anthem. And that kind of link between nation and church is not good. It's not healthy. It's very interesting that when the Apostle Paul confronted Peter in the book of Acts over his attitude to eating with Gentile Christians in Galatians, he doesn't tell him off for being a racist. He tells him that his actions are wrong because he wasn't living in conformity to the gospel. So here we can see that Jonah was a bigot, but God does not condone bigotry in any shape or form, and there is no place for it in the life of those who have been forgiven by Jesus. What else do we see from Jonah chapter 1? Well, we see that people matter. It's interesting to see how when Jonah ran away from the Lord, Jonah was completely oblivious to the calamity which was all around him. Although a storm raged around about him, he couldn't care less about the fear that his fellow passengers might be experiencing. He couldn't care less that they were about to lose everything they had within their tiny craft upon the Mediterranean Sea. Nor did he care about the lives of the sailors who were doing their level best to rescue their fragile ship from disintegrating. But when compared to Jonah's lack of care, do you find it disconcerting to see that in contrast to the Hebrew prophet, the pagan sailors did all they humanly could to lighten the load, to rescue the ship, to bring Jonah back home safe and sound? Now, their good human deeds weren't enough to put them in a right relationship with God. Why else would Jesus have had to come to earth? But what we can see is that their ordinary decent humanity was more impressive than that of Jonah, who, although a believer, did not care less about the physical, let alone spiritual welfare of the other people around him. Now, which worries you most? the good deeds displayed by pagan unbelievers, or the lack of kindness sometimes demonstrated by God's people. The generous attitude of those who worship other gods, or the meanness of spirits of some who profess the name of Jesus. In James chapter 2, Jesus' brother asks this question. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about it. What good is that? I tell you, faith without actions is dead. Just before Christmas, Claire and I were in Nepal, and there we met many indigenous believers, including pastors who had been persecuted by their family and neighbours. In the region which was the epicentre of the earthquake, South Darling, there was a congregation which had just built a new building. And when they did so, they built three taps on the outside of the building so that the people within the community could come and get fresh, clean water from the outside of the church. Why did they do it? Well, the pastor told me. He said in Romans chapter 12, it says, "If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. And by doing so, you will heap burning coals upon their head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." That's caring. That's caring for people. It's the gospel way. So Jonah, he couldn't care less about people, but God couldn't care more. And there is no excuse for lack of concern about people in the life of those who believe in Jesus. So we've seen that bigotry matters. We've seen that people matter. And thirdly, we can see from this that the environment matters. When Jonah was confronted by the pagan sailors and shamed into calling upon God, he gave his testimony. "Tell us who is responsible for making this trouble. What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" And Jonah said, "I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." And that's what terrified them. Out they were in the middle of the ocean that was chopping, that was in an awful condition. And here was Jonah telling them that he worshipped the one who had made the sea that they were about to drown in. The pagan sailors were terrified because Jonah confessed that he worshipped no localized tribal deity. He was not beholden to some narrow sectarian lord. No, he worshipped the creator of the entire heavens and the earth. In Psalm 121, we sing, "I to the hills will lift mine eyes. From whence doth come mine aid? My aid, it cometh from the Lord, who heaven and earth hath made." This earth belongs to the Lord and all it contains. This world is inhabited by the Lord. And when Jonah failed to honor the God of creation, he was failing to live as a steward of God's creation. One of the many concerning things about this present United States administration is that not only is it looking in upon itself, but it is, by its appointment of its new Secretary of State, would seem to be giving the impression that it is not taking responsibility for the state of this world or the environment. Almost there's a denial that there is any human part in climate change. This is not taking responsibility for the world in which we live. It is perfectly plain that in many parts of the world, often the poorest parts of the world, our creation is experiencing traumas precisely because of human usage of fossil fuels. And one of the ways in which people have no knowledge of God can see the respect for which we hold God who created this world is when we are able to care for the environment in which we live. Contemporary society has so commodified everything that almost everything is seen as disposable. If we get it, we buy it, and we throw it away, but that breeds a culture of the temporary, of the faddish, of the superficial. And those of us who know the Lord, who love the Lord, must resist this deadly virus of the here and now and the throwaway culture. This world has been lent to us as a gift. It's not only for us, it's for future generations to be cared for, to be nurtured, not as a possession to be ravished and destroyed. Psalm 148 tells us that every part of creation brings glory to the Creator. So every time a species of plant or animal is harmed or obliterated, or the poorest parts of the world exploited for short-term gain, that diminishes the worship offered to the God of global concern. So bigotry matters. People matter. The environment matters. And fourthly and lastly, right and wrong matter. Jonah had a vital task. He was to go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because of its wickedness. Wrong leads to judgment. That's what the Bible tells us. Right leads to life. God's will is not that any should perish, but that we should have everlasting life, 1 Timothy 2. There we see that God's desire is that all people should be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And God here wanted the people of Nineveh to have the opportunity to hear and respond to the good news of the gospel and to enter into an interactive life with God. But Jonah didn't want the people of Nineveh to respond to God's gracious invitation to change. And that's why the Lord had to give Jonah a visual aid of what salvation was about. And God rescued Jonah from certain death and destruction from within the belly of the fish. And that was a very powerful illustration to the reluctant prophet of the compassion that God wished to demonstrate to the pagan people of Nineveh. It was the same message, incidentally, that the Lord Jesus proclaimed at the start of his ministry. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Jonah loved the grace of God when it was for himself, but resented it when it was offered to others not like himself. But this will not do. God hates wrong. God despises violence and injustice. God hates those things that lead to poverty and oppression, and God wants people to turn from doing wrong and start doing right. Now, this isn't something that can be done in human strength. No amount of trying hard can bring about supernatural change, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It's not only by the enabling of God that conversion of the heart and mind can take place, but take place it can. And how? Well, Matthew chapter 12, we have some words of Jesus that are really quite remarkable. In Matthew 12, in response to people who wanted to see something dramatic from the one who created the heavens and the earth, Jesus said this: a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For even as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Right and wrong matters. It matters so much that our God of global concern loved the world so much, he gave his only son in order to redeem it, in order to rescue it, in order to save it. And unlike Jonah, Jesus obediently said yes to his Father's will, and not only proclaimed salvation to those who would respond, but willingly died on a cross in order to accept in his own body the judgment that ought to have been on ours. By Jesus' life and through his death and resurrection, all who trust in him find salvation and a brand new start. Now this, my friends, is good news. That although we may be lost, although we may be bigots, although we may be selfish, unconcerned for either people or planet, God has come on a rescue mission. Although we did not deserve it, God has provided with us a second chance, and it's the way of the cross. It's the way of the resurrection from the tomb, because by Christ's death on our behalf and by his rising from the dead, God offers to us an alternative to our naturally sinful self. And the Lord grants us the opportunity to hear those awesome words. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city." Bigotry matters. People matter. The environment matters. Right and wrong matters. This year's Fit for Purpose theme by the General Assembly is that we're to be a global concern community. God help us as we seek to live lives of Christ-likeness in a world of complexity, violence and need. And be beacons of hope and life and good news.